Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and 3 minutes seconds above Metzia, Daf Nun off the fourth parak Hazav. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman said that the time limitation for retraction only applies to a defrauded buyer. Of a mocher, lo'am choser, but a defrauded seller can always retract, as will be explained. The Gemara attempts to prove this from the fact that the Tagrei Lud returned to the Rabban's opinion after hearing the Rebbe Tarfon allowed retraction for an entire day. If time limitations apply equally to the seller, then the extension benefits them as much as it harms them. The Gemara answers that it's uncommon for the merchants of Lud to mistakenly undercharge for their merchandise. Rabbi Bar Chama once found his landlord upset after undercharging for wine. He told them to retract the sale, but the landlord responded that the time limitation had already passed. Rabbi Bar Chama sent him to Rav Nachman, who ruled that a seller can retract forever, and explained the buyer has the merchandise with him and can show it to people wherever he goes and discover his error. The seller who does not have the merchandise must wait until an item for sale similar to a sold item comes to him, and only then can determine if he erred. Point number two, the Gemara relates an incident about someone selling silk ribbons which were worth 5 zuz for 6, but would accept 5.5. A buyer realized that if he would give 5.5, the overpayment would be less than 1/6 and waived, so he paid him 6 in order to demand reimbursement of the overcharging of 1/6. However, Rav ruled that refunds only apply to a merchant, of a bokeach, mean baal bais, but when buying from a homeowner, in lo lav ona, the buyer has no claim of ona against him. The Gemara records another incident in which Rav Chisda issued the same ruling, which was praised by other Amoraim. This ruling was challenged by the next Mishnah, which states that ona applies to a hediot, an ordinary person. Rav Chisda explains that the Mishnah's case is bitsadriyasa, hem garments, which are usually intended for sale, but regarding garments for one's personal use, which are dear to him, he would only be willing to sell them for more than their value. Rashi explains that since homeowners usually overcharge for such items, it's tantamount to informing the buyer he's being overcharged, which is not subject to ona. And point number three, the Gemara discusses one who says, "A manas she'ein locha alai ona. This sale is on condition that you have no claim of ona against me." Rav says the buyer still has a claim of ona against him, and the stipulation is ineffective, but Shmuel says he cannot claim ona against him. Rav Hanan said that Shmuel clarified that the formula, quote, "that you have no claim of ona against me," end quote, is effective. But if he said, "Amanas she'ein bo ona," on condition that there is no ona in the sale, it's interpreted as a guarantee that he's not being overcharged, and since he is, the sale is void. The Gemara challenges Rav from a price which clearly teaches that if one says, "Amanas she'ein locha alai ona," the buyer cannot claim ona against him. Abai says that Rav's opinion is consistent with Rabbi Meir's view quoted before, and this price is Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees. Rav understands that this price is b'mefarish, where the seller specifies that he is overcharging for the merchandise, in which case his condition is valid. A price approves this distinction. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Nachman said that the time limitation for retraction only applies to a defrauded buyer of a mocher or mechozer, but a defrauded seller can always retract, as will be explained. The Gemara attempts to prove this from the fact that the Tagrei Lud returned to the Rabban's opinion after hearing the Rebbe Tarfon allowed retraction for an entire day. If time limitations apply equally to the seller, then the extension benefits them as much as it harms them. The Gemara answers that it's uncommon for the merchants of Lud to mistakenly undercharge for their merchandise. Rabbi Bar Chama once found his landlord upset after undercharging for wine. He told them to retract the sale, but the landlord responded that the time limitation had already passed. Rabbi Bar Chama sent him to Rav Nachman, who ruled that a seller can retract forever, and explained the buyer has the merchandise with him and can show it to people wherever he goes and discover his error. The seller who does not have the merchandise must wait until an item for sale similar to a sold item comes to him, and only then can determine if he erred. Point number two, the Gemara relates an incident about someone selling silk ribbons which were worth 5 zuz for 6, but would accept 5.5. A buyer realized that if he would give 5.5, the overpayment would be less than 1/6 and waived, so he paid him 6 in order to demand reimbursement of the overcharging of 1/6. However, Rav ruled that refunds only apply to a merchant, of a bokeach, mean baal bais, but when buying from a homeowner, in lo lav ona, the buyer has no claim of ona against him. The Gemara records another incident in which Rav Chisda issued the same ruling, which was praised by other Amoraim. This ruling was challenged by the next Mishnah, which states that ona applies to a hediot, an ordinary person. Rav Chisda explains that the Mishnah's case is bitsadriyasa, hem garments, which are usually intended for sale, but regarding garments for one's personal use, which are dear to him, he would only be willing to sell them for more than their value. Rashi explains that since homeowners usually overcharge for such items, it's tantamount to informing the buyer he's being overcharged, which is not subject to ona. And point number three, the Gemara discusses one who says, "A manas she'ein locha alai ona." This sale is on condition that you have no claim of onah against me. Rav says the buyer still has a claim of onah against him, and the stipulation is ineffective, but Shmuel says he cannot claim onah against him. Rav Hanan said that Shmuel clarified that the formula, quote, that you have no claim of onah against me, end quote, is effective. But if he said, amanas she'en bo onah, on condition that there is no onah in the sale, it's interpreted as a guarantee that he's not being overcharged, and since he is, the sale is void. The Gemara challenges Rav from a price which clearly teaches that if one says, amanas she'en lecha alai onah, the buyer cannot claim onah against him. Abai says that Rav's opinion is consistent with Rabbi Meir's view quoted before, and this price is Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees. Rav understands that this price is b'mefarish, where the seller specifies that he is overcharging for the merchandise, in which case his condition is valid. A price approves this distinction. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Nun Aleph, and our standard Simon is beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. When the man who bought a beaver pelt hat returned it to the seller, because the seller retracted after realizing months later, he undercharged and then passed on buying one from his friend because there's no claim of onah against a Baal Bayis. Was in a quandary of what to do when a second seller offered to sell him on condition he had no claim of onah against him. Once again, slow motion. When the man who bought a beaver pelt hat, beaver pelt, that must be on Duff Nun Aleph. When the man who bought a beaver pelt hat returned it to the seller because the seller retracted after realizing months later, he undercharged, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that the time limitation for retraction only applies to a defrauded buyer. Of a mocher lo'olam chozer, but a defrauded seller can always retract. Rav Nachman explained that a seller can retract forever. The buyer has the merchandise with him and can show it to people wherever he goes and discover his error. The seller, who does not have the merchandise, must wait until an item for sale similar to a sold item comes to him, and only then can determine if he erred. So, when the man who bought a beaver pelt hat returned it to the seller, because the seller retracted after realizing months later, he undercharged and then passed on buying one from his friend because there's no claim of onah against a Baal Bayis, which reminds us, when buying from a homeowner, in lo alav onah, the buyer has no claim of onah against him. The Gemara records another incident which Rav Chisda issued the same ruling, which was praised by other Amoraim. This ruling was challenged by the next Mishnah, which states that onah applies to a hedyot, an ordinary person. Rav Chisda explains that the Mishnah's case is with hemp garments, which are usually intended for sale. But regarding garments for one's personal use, which are dear to him, he would only be willing to sell them for more than their value. Or she explains that since homeowners usually overcharge for such items, it's tantamount to informing the buyer that he's being overcharged, which is not subject to onah. So, when the man who bought a beaver pelt hat returned it to the seller because the seller retracted after realizing months later, he undercharged and then passed on buying one from his friend because there's no claim of onah against a Baal Bayis, was in a quandary what to do when a second seller offered to sell him on condition he had no claim of onah against him, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses one who says, Almanah she'en lecha alai onah. This sale is on condition that you have no claim of onah against me. Rav says the buyer still has a claim of onah against him, and the stipulation is effective, but Shmuel says he cannot claim onah against him. So once again, when the man who bought a beaver pelt hat returned to the seller, because the seller retracted after realizing months later, he undercharged and then passed on buying one from his friend because there's no claim of onah against a Baal Bayis, was in a quandary of what to do when a second seller offered to sell him on condition he had no claim of onah against him. All right, so now it's time for a four Baal Bayis Chazara. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Siman Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The person running through the Kenyan maze, that must be on Daf Mem Zayin. The person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona, holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna, holding the kerchief, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, whose utensil is used to perform a Kenyan Chalipin? Rav says, Bekeil of Shekona is performed with the utensil of the one acquiring the item by giving his kerchief, for example, to the item's current owner, because the one acquiring wants the Makna to acquire his kerchief, so he should transfer the item to him. Levi says, Bekeil of Shemakna is performed with the utensil of the one transferring the item by giving his kerchief to the one acquiring the item. So, the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief, instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do Chalipin with instead, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa Konim Bekli, one may acquire with utensil for Chalipin, afo pisha en bo sheva pruta, even though it's not worth a pruta. Rav Nachman says the utensil is required for Chalipin, but produce or any other non-utensil cannot affect Chalipin because the Pasuk says, na'alo, his shoe. Teaching na'al'in with a shoe or something similar, yes, chalipin would take effect. Midia harini, lo, but with something else, it would not. Rav Shesha says even produce may be used for chalipin, and darshens the phrase l'kayim kol davar to confirm anything, to allow a kinyan with anything. So the person running through the Kenyan maze who decided to go down the path of the Kona holding the kerchief instead of the Makna holding the kerchief, and then ran past and ignored an ear of corn and found a shoe to do chalipin with instead, was racing against the clock to acquire a bushel of wheat with Mashicha before the seller could tell him, "Your wheat was burned in the attic." Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph taught that the acquiring of the merchandise and not the money finalizes a sale. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Devar Torah Malz Konos." According to Torah law, money acquires metaltolin. The reason that the rabbi said that Mashiach and not money acquires metaltolin is Gezer Shema Yomer Nisrefu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, a rabbinic decree, because the seller might tell him, "Your wheat was burned in the attic." Since the wheat, which is still in the seller's possession, now belongs to the buyer, the seller has no incentive to protect it from accidental damage. They decreed that the buyer could retract from the sale until he acquires it, so the seller would labor to save him from harm. Daf Mem Ches. So the same Daf Mem Ches is a brainiac. So here goes. When the brainiac, that must be more in Daf Mem Ches, Moach. When the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now is subject to a Misha Para, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet Amanov stated regarding one who attracts from a purchase after giving money. Of Amru, the sages said about him, Misha Parma Anshidora Mabu Mendoha Flag, the one who punished the generation of the flood and the generation of dispersion, who asli para Mishaino Omipi Diburo, he will ultimately punish someone who does not keep his word. The Gemara clarifies that a Misha Par is only given when it's accompanied by a monetary payment. So, when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and now was subject to a Misha Para, which included basting cursing in themselves because he wasn't acting like Amucha, which reminds us, Abai said that we inform him that if he retracts, he'll be subject to Misha Para, but we don't curse him. Rava says we curse him ourselves with Misha Para. Abai holds we do not curse because the Pasuk says, "V'nasi ba'amcha v'sar," a leader among your people you shall not curse, which is also prohibited for ordinary Jews. Rava responds to the word ba'amcha, among your people, teaches that cursing is only prohibited ba'osamaisa'amcha, with one who acts in accordance with your people's actions. So when the brainiac who exercised his legal right to renege on his purchase of a new set of encyclopedia because he decided his last year's edition was good enough and was subject to a Misha Para, which included basing cursing in themselves because he wasn't acting like Amcha, his brainiac friend questioned if his down payment for the first volume acquired the whole set for a Misha Para, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a down payment acquires equal to its value or the entire purchase in terms of incurring a Misha Para for retracting. Daf Mem Tes. So the Siman Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we often use a butcher in the Siman. So here goes. Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats. Butcher, meats, that must be more on Daf Mem Tes. Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, which reminds us, with respect to divine words, meaning verbal commitments, Rav says, "Ein behem mishum mechusri amana." Retracting from them does not constitute lack of trustworthiness. But Rabbi Yochanan says it does. Rabbi Yochanan holds, one should not retract from a small gift because the recipients rely on him and he sincerely intends to give it. So Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, began buying spices with money from the spice dealer who rented space in Bearish's back room, which reminds us, in a Bryce, Rabbi Shimon says that the seller can only retract from the purchase when both the money and produce are in the seller's possession. But once the produce is in the buyer's possession, he cannot retract. The Gemara asks that this is obvious, and Rav explains, "Kagon she'aisa aliyah sholokeach muskeres biyad mocher." It's a case where the buyer's attic was rented by the seller and his wheat was stored there. Although it's legally the seller's domain while he rents it, the wheat is physically in the buyer's house. So Bearish the butcher from Trusty Cuts Meats, who always kept his word when offering small gifts of beef jerky to his customers, began buying spices with money from the spice dealer who rented space in Bearish's back room, after he notes that the spice dealer from across the street was overcharging him by a sixth of the value, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Ona arba kesem esrim ba arba kesem vasela." Ona is defined as 4 silver miles out of 24 silver miles of a seller, meaning shusumekach, a discrepancy of a sixth of the purchase. The Mishnah then teaches until when the defrauded party can retract or demand payment of the difference. Rav says shusumekach shanino, a sixth of the market value of the purchase item, is what we learn in the Mishnah as the rate for Ona. Daf Nun, so the Simmer Daf Nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his non-stop flight, that must be on Daf Nun. The count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagare load for his nonstop flight, which reminds us one cannot demand a refund when one's overcharged by just under a sixth, and the Gemara brings the instant with the Tagarei Lod, the merchants of Lod. So the count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagarei Lod for his nonstop flight was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract, which reminds us the Gemara teaches that one who overpays by more than a sixth has all the time in the world to retract. So, the count who couldn't demand a refund when he was overcharged by just under a sixth by the Tagarei Lod for his nonstop flight was totally confused when the passenger nearby, who overpaid by more than a sixth for the in-flight drink, was told he had all the time in the world to retract, while another passenger who overpaid for headphones by exactly a sixth was given a choice to either demand a refund of the difference or avoid the sale, which reminds us, Rinasan says, Shtos kana umaksir ona, regarding exactly a sixth, the sale is valid, but he must return the fraud amount. Rav Yehuda Nasi says, Yad mocher el yona, the seller, if he's the defrauded party, has the upper hand. If he wants, he may say, give me back my merchandise and void the sale, or he can say, give me the amount, you defrauded me. Rav rules like Rav Nasan, although the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph follows Rav Yehuda Nasi's opinion. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.